Book of John, chapter 20. We are in our month of March. We call it March for Missions, and we have been focusing on mission work, mission outreach. Now, typically, when you go to a month, a March for Missions or a missions month, they'll have missionaries come in, and they'll talk about their field, and we'll raise support and do things like that. But this month, or this year, we have decided to focus on you and I. You and I as the missionary. We realize that we have a debt of honor. We have an opportunity as well as a duty to the Lord to reach those that God has put in our path. Look at John chapter 20 and verse number 21. John chapter 20 and verse number 21. The Bible, we're going to read it together. So if you found John 20 and verse 21, say amen. Let's read this together, please. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Let's read that again. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Isn't that an interesting phrase? Let's pray. Father, please now bless us as we look to your word. Help us, God, as we try to understand it and apply it to our lives. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would guide us into this. If there's someone here on campus, God, who's yet to be saved, may they trust Christ. But for us, your children, Father, I ask you would grow us, that you would challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. In the first message at the beginning of March, we talked about the divine intervention of God. I looked at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 when it said, "But God." Verses 1, 2, and 3 talked about how that we were all the children of this world. We were under God's wrath. We were pawns of Satan, but God intervened. Things were going in the wrong direction, but God intervened. And the whole service was on, but God. There's 46 times or 47 times in the Bible we see that contrast. Things were going wrong, but God intervened. And do you remember where you were when God intervened? Do you remember where you were and when it happened, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Where were you? When I ask people, "Are you saved? Do you know, are you born again?" They'll say, "Yes." And I'll say, "Well, what are you basing that on?" And they'll say, "Well, I was baptized, or I became a church member, or I did this or that." But the truth is, you don't work your way to heaven. God saves your soul when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says in John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you understand? Where were you when God intervened? See, you need to know. You need to be able to retell it. Think about it. You may not know the date or the hour, but you were there. I wasn't. The day you were born again. Remember in the second message, we talked about be truthful. But God, and then we talked about be truthful. For some reason, we want to try to sell Jesus like a timeshare. We want to sell him about features and benefits, and if you'll get saved, and then, you know, this will happen, and this will happen. And we want to feed this idea to them that they can somehow add Jesus to their life, like tricking out a car with chrome rims. That's not how it is. Do you understand? We need to be truthful. Do you remember what you were saved from? What did God save you from? The word "save" means delivered from, delivered. Like if you were drowning and you could not save yourself, somebody would jump in and deliver you from that. If you were unconscious in a burning building, you could not save yourself. But by the actions of someone else, you could be delivered from what would be certain death. The Bible teaches that the word "saved" means delivered from the power and penalty of our sin. Do you know what the penalty of our sin is? Think about it now. Are we afraid to tell people? It seems like we're afraid to tell people that hell is real. Hell is for real and hell is forever. And it's conscious, eternal, existent punishment. I mean, you are living a punishment for eternity. That's what you were saved from. Why are we afraid to tell people that there is a hell to avoid and a heaven to gain? We need to be truthful with people. And then last week we looked at bystanders. We looked at bystanders. The fact that we're just as guilty as the devil when we stand back and just watch the world go off into hell. We're just as guilty as Satan. The thing is, Jesus today, in our text, he is telling us that we are to be the missionary. There in John 20, 21, then said Jesus, "As the Father," just like the Father sent me, "as the Father has sent me, even so send I you." I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you and say, "Listen, God, this is your calling." I want you to turn to the person next to you and go, "This is your calling." Now I want you to look back at that person and say, "He's talking to you too." right? Because the truth is, we are all called to be the missionary. We love Brother Mike and Miss Anne Marie. We're brother, at 8:30 this morning, we talked to Michael Kim and Miss Esther all the way over in Seoul, Korea. And it's 13 hours ahead of us over there. So it's 12 plus one. And they'd already had their services as well. And this is our calling. You think, well, missionaries are people who go to foreign places. No, missionaries is every single Christian. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me. Well, why did the Father send Jesus? The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? So that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Luke 19:10, he said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to save people. John 3:17, the Son did not come to the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He came to save people. This is the reason God the Father sent the Son, so that folks could be saved. Well, when did God come up with this idea? Well, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 that he did this before the foundation of the world. He knew he would need a Savior for mankind. Well, what did Jesus do when he got here? Well, the Bible says in John 4 that he made and baptized disciples, that he preached and taught people the gospel. This was God's plan. Take your Bible quickly, turn to 2 Peter all the way in the back of the book. Leave your ribbon there, or your hand there in John 20. We're going to come back to it. But look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter all the way in the back of the book, after the book of Hebrews. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Look what the Bible says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Now look at that last section. Look at it now, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's as if God has chosen the entire human race, all past, present, and future folks that have been conceived, all of them. He has chosen them to be saved. He wants them to be saved. That's what it says in John 3:16. In John 6 and verse 29, he said that he has come. He has come for us. He has come to save us. The new birth happens at the moment you and I believe on him. John, 1 John 5 and verse 1. It says, if whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you understand? God came to save. That's what God did. Now, we become a child of God when we trust him as our Savior. That's what John 1 and verse 12 tells us. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We become his child. You become a son or a daughter of the King of Kings at the moment you put your faith and trust on Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. Isn't that exciting? This is as close to hell as you'll ever get. Isn't that cool? Huh? Even you go down 10 floors underneath, down into a parking garage, just still as close to hell as you'll ever get. But this is as close to heaven as lost people get. This is it. This is as good as it gets. That's why the Father sent Christ, and he sent us to do the same thing, to teach folks the gospel. Now, it is God's will that everybody gets saved. And it's also God's will that everybody who gets saved gets baptized. Matthew 28, verse 19. He said, teach them what? Teach them the gospel and then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then he said, listen, I want all those folks who get saved and baptized, I want them to be discipled. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's what he said. We have been sent by, he sent Christ to save. And he's sending us out as the missionaries to teach people the gospel, because he wants people saved, and then he wants people baptized, and then he wants them discipled. Now, you've heard it talked about as soul winning. That's because of Proverbs 11:30. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. You've also heard of it as evangelism, 2 Timothy 4, doing the work of an evangelist. You've heard that phrase. It talks about, though, us telling people about the gospel. But if you're going to be a missionary, you need to know what it is actually that you're actually, that you need to know that you're actually born again. You need to know. See, go to the book of Acts. Look at this. Go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Look at what it says there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts. Now, the book of Acts is after John, and it's before Romans. Look at the book of Acts. Acts 1. And verse 8. Look what it says. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now look at that next phrase. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. You cannot. A witness is just somebody who testifies of what's happened to them. If you've been called onto the witness stand, your responsibility was just to explain what you saw, what you experienced. That's it. We are called to be witnesses. We are to testify of what happened to us, how we became a child of God, how we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, how we repented of our sin, turned to Christ, and received him as our Savior. We're to be telling people that of what happened, but you cannot witness or testify of something that you've never experienced. So are you saved? When did you get saved? And how were you saved? What is it your faith and trust is squarely on? You can't testify of something you don't know, or you can't, it didn't happen to you. Be assured, my brothers and sisters, the devil wins when we're not sure. You need to be sure. We had a wonderful time in Sunday school today. Miss Christine had an excellent example I'm going to steal right now. It's really fabulous. You know, when you tell somebody about how great marriage is, we don't have to go back and just explain our wedding. It's a present reality, isn't it, sister? It's a present, it's a wonderful thing to be married, and we love it, and we talk about how wonderful it is because it's present right now. You know, your witness and testimony needs to be about right now, too. It's not just to look back at a crisis moment when you put your faith and trust on Christ, but right now, what is God doing in your life? How he speaks to you, how he's forgiven you, how he meets your needs and he talks to you. So you got to know you're saved. And number two, you got to know what it is, you know, why this is important. Because as I said, hell is for real and hell is forever. And you need to realize what you've been saved from and why this is important. Because those who don't know Christ as their Savior go to hell. That's why we're to witness. But look again in Acts 1:8. This is a powerful thought. Ye shall be witnesses. Do you realize that's a command? Yeah, that's a command. That's a command like, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. That's a command. Do you know that ye shall be witnesses unto me is a command? Just like you know, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not bear false witness. And these are commands now. This is a command. So that means when we don't obey this command, we are in rebellion. Wow, got quiet in here, didn't it? Nobody amen in that one, huh? Listen, this is a command. We're supposed to be the missionary. We're supposed to be the ones. And you think, well, I don't know the Bible. I'm not versed in it. I don't know hardly anything. Do you remember when you got saved? You know, that's all Paul ever told anybody. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Do you realize that wherever he went, he didn't talk about all the great things he knew. He talked about the day he met Jesus. That's what he tells people. When you read the book of Acts, he just talks about the day he met Jesus. It is a command, and we're missing God's blessing because we're outside of God's will because we are not obeying this command. Again, it says, and ye shall be witnesses. Now, look at this next phrase. You'll be witnesses unto me both. That means in all the areas he's about to explain. Look at this. We're to be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, do you understand that when he was talking, y'all, when you want to understand the Bible, ask yourself, okay, who's talking? Who's he talking to? What is he talking about? And when is he talking? At this moment in time, Jesus is talking to his disciples, which was his first church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 says the apostles were the first church. He's talking to his first church. He's talking after the resurrection, but before Pentecost. And he is telling them, listen, you need to witness in Jerusalem because that's where they lived. If we're going to obey this command, you and I are expected to witness right where we are in our own community. What are we supposed to witness? We're to teach them the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. That Jesus died and was buried and rose again. That's what he did. That's how come we're saved. That's how we receive his righteousness. We turn from our sin and we call upon him to save us. And you understand that he already died on the cross for all of our sin. But now all of his righteousness is credited to your account the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. You're a child of God. He no longer sees you as sinner. He sees you through the blood. And you're perfect. You're righteous. You're holy. The word justified means just if I'd never sinned. That's how God sees you when you trust Christ as your Savior. Justified. Now, while he sees you as just, it takes repentance, which means turning from, but we're to teach the gospel right where we live. right where we live. Now, again, we're supposed to be the missionary. This is not optional. We're supposed to do this. But when you're looking at this phrase, it says we're to be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and in Judea. And you think to yourself, listen, I'm afraid. I can't witness. What exactly are you afraid of? This ain't the Middle East. You are in no danger of ending up in a one-zipper orange overall, dragged through the streets of some city and then your head cut off. This America, y'all. What are we afraid of? Well, I'm afraid that what? Somebody who you barely know, who will not cry at your funeral, will get mad at you for sharing the gospel. Some woman came out of the house yesterday after Brother Johnny was putting tracks on doors and said, hey, you can't do that. Oh, yes, ma'am, I can. What do you want us to do? Roll over and suck our thumb and curl up in a ball? This is America, y'all. They ain't going to cut your head off. What are we afraid of? We're afraid our pride and our ego is going to get hurt. That's what we're afraid of. Think about it now. This is America. You are not doing this by yourself. Did you know as part of the local New Testament church, you're doing it with family? We're doing it together. You're not alone. You also know that you're co-laborers with Christ, meaning Christ is right there with you, giving you the words to say, giving you the courage to do it. And you think, well, I don't know the Bible. Look, all you need to know is what happened to you. I realized I was a sinner. It was October 9th, 1990. I was sitting at my kitchen table, and the preacher opened up my Bible and showed me where I was a sinner and where sin had the price of eternity in hell. But God took that punishment for me, and now he's left the choice up to me to receive him or not. And I accept it. That's it. It ain't hard to be able to explain it because you're not doing it alone. We are the missionaries. So we're supposed to do it in Jerusalem. Look at Acts 1:8 again. Then it says Judea. Now that's the surrounding area outside of your sphere of influence. Jerusalem is your local sphere of influence. How many of you see the same person at Starbucks waiting on you every week? Nobody goes to Starbucks? That's good. That's a bad investment. Okay. There's a new Dunkin' Donuts opening up down here. I'm excited. Amen. Amen. The only drive-through coffee spot in the county. Praise God. I don't know how they slipped through the county and let that happen, but something good came to us. Think, who is it at the bank you see every week? Who is it you see at the grocery store every week? Think about it now. That person's in your sphere of influence. Dorothy and Loopy wait on me at SunTrust every time I go down there. They know my name. I know their name. We talk, chat a little bit. It's my responsibility. They're in my sphere of influence. Nina at the drive-thru at McDonald's over there on Commerce. See her most every time I go in there. Whose responsibility is that? Mine. She's in my sphere of influence. I know her by name. Who's my... Luke and Yvonne live right next door to me. Whose responsibility is that? Mine. Because I live right next door. Whose responsibility is your neighbor's? Do you understand? Ye shall be witnesses unto me in your Jerusalem. But then Judea is like northern Virginia. When you were out yesterday, a bunch of people went out yesterday putting tracks on doors. They were putting tracks and giving the gospel out to people they didn't even know. That's their Judea. That's the surrounding area. But then it says, look at this. Then it says Samaria. Now you got to understand, Jews hate Samaritans. Samaritans hate the Jews. The Samaritans were the northern 10 tribes of Israel that broke off, interbred with the land, and became idolatrous. They would worship false gods. And so the Jews called them dogs. And Jesus is telling his church here in Jerusalem, listen, buddy, I want you to reach the people in your sphere of influence. Then I want you to reach the people in the surrounding county. And oh, by the way, I want you to reach the people you don't like, the Samaritans. So if I break it down for you, Jerusalem is the people you love. The Judeans are the people you tolerate. And the Samaritans are the people who you don't like and scare you. Who is it in your neighborhood you're afraid to talk to? Maybe they dress differently. Maybe they speak a different language. Maybe they come from a different part of the world with a different religion. Why are we afraid to talk to them? They're human beings. They're souls for which Christ died. God loves them like he loves you. And God, instead of having us go over there, God brought them here. God did that so we could reach them. God's entrusting us for that. Who is it in your neighborhood that scares you? They're the people we need to be witnessing. Maybe there's some folks in your family that just feel like it's their purpose in life to make your life hard. Anybody got like that? Anybody like that in your life? You ain't got a sphere of influence? Somebody in your sphere, just makes your life hard. They get a kick out of making your life hard. Did you know? That's your Samaria. God expects you to be a witness in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, and in your Samaria. And then it says, to the uttermost part of the world. Look at that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We are to be a witnesses. Look at this. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both. Both. That means in all four places. Well, uttermost parts of the world. Wait a second now. I don't live in the uttermost parts of the world. That's true. And like Mike and Ann Marie are from Florida. So when God called them, and God is still calling people. And today, one of the things you can do to reach the uttermost parts of the world is to change your Jerusalem. If you feel called into the ministry, if you feel God is calling you to be a missionary, come talk to me. We'll train you. We'll send you out like we did Brother Michael and Miss Esther. But Brother Hopper and his wife Anne Marie, they changed their Jerusalem from Florida, Lakeland, Florida, to Nairobi, Kenya. So if you feel that's one of the ways you can reach to the uttermost parts of the world is go. You can go if that's what the Lord wants you to do. But number two, you can pray. You heard Brother Michael say, listen, pray for us. You can partner with other people in foreign countries by praying for them, interceding for them, praying for their effectiveness. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Paul said, please pray that the gospel had free range, free course. You can go to the uttermost parts of the world by praying. Pray for their effectiveness. Pray for their safety. We have missionary cards out on the counter behind the information booth. Put those on your kitchen table, and every day when you go have a lunch or supper, grab one and just pray for that, for God to make them effective, for God to keep them safe. You heard Brother Michael say they had this whole church built, everything ready, and then the county inspector came and said, tear it down. Tear it down. You need to pray that God's protection around them. Mean people stink. There's mean people here and there's mean people everywhere. And they need prayer. Pray for boldness, Ephesians 6:19. We need to pray. You know, there in Kenya, he's got more religious liberty a lot of times than we do. He can go into the schools. He can put things in people's mailboxes. That's illegal here. He can put things in mailboxes. He can go to the schools. He can go to the jails. And the government don't stop him. The government's inviting him. You need to pray for those open doors and these missionaries. So how do I go to the othermost parts of the earth? Well, if God hasn't called you to go there, then pray for them. So besides pray for them, number two, you can give. You give in and through your local church. We give tithes and offerings. Tithes are the first 10%. That's 10% of your gross. That's not just Old Testament. That's New Testament. I'm going to preach on it another time. I tithe. I'll tell you, God blesses. Tithe. But missions offering is over and above your tithe. It's you believing that God is going to take that and take the gospel with it. You give. It's called faith promise missions. You know, God doesn't want your stuff. God really wants you. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This ain't about money. It's about the heart. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Do you realize that not everybody on the planet has a church they can go to? Because there isn't a church in their area. That's why people like Mike and Anne Marie go. It's why Michael and Esther went to Korea. Because there wasn't a church in their neighborhood where people would just walk in and hear the gospel. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want you to look at verse number 4. Listen to the heart of these people. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the souls, or the saints. Verse 5. And they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Faith promise missions is us understanding that what really God wants is our heart. God can provide any way he wants to. But the problem is, us as Christians, we forget there's a need. Did you know that the rest of the world had the gospel before America had the gospel? How old's America? We're less than 300 years, aren't we? I can't do the math that quick in my head. Thank you, John. Everybody else had the gospel before America. That means people in centuries past gave of themselves and their fortunes, their own lives, so that the gospel could come here. You know, you're sitting in a church building right now where people in 50 years ago gave of themselves, their blood, their sweat, their tears, their money, so that you and I could sit in a church building. They're dead now. Some of them didn't get to enjoy it. But we do. And as Christians, when we give to missions, it's like we're paying back a debt of honor to the descendants of those who had it before we did. We are giving so that people other places can have a church like we do. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, God isn't interested in your stuff. He wants your heart. Because if he has your heart, then he can take care of the rest. God wants you. But look at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What kind of grace are we talking about here? That's supernatural enabling. That's God enabled these churches to give. Verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. They had joy, the fact they were saved and they knew it and they wanted others to know it. For to their power, that means they did what they could do. I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. That means they dipped into what God could do. They were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. They got involved. It's called Faith Promise Missions. It's us saying to the Lord, I want to be a part of this, Lord. How do you want me to give? And whatever the Lord leads you to do, you do it, knowing that God has promised to make up the difference and take care of you. This isn't a give so I can get. This is a give because I love the Lord. But let me ask you a question. Do you understand that you're to be the missionary? That you're the one God has called to your region, to your house, to your neighborhood? And ye shall be witnesses. Can you just take a minute and think through the day you got saved? Can you think back to that time when you prayed and called upon Christ, admitted you were a sinner, and turned and admitted and said, I need a Savior. I believe you died for me. Please forgive me. I believe. Do you remember that day? If you think about it in your head, can you take your mind back there and see it and kind of relive it for a second? Now imagine the people you work with have never had that. Maybe that person whose goal in life to make your life miserable wouldn't be like that if they had a moment like that. Maybe they'd be different because you're different. Sometimes you think to yourself, who's the ugliest person you know? Who's the one in your life? I mean, just the ugliest person you know. Would it shock you to think that it might be you or me? Would it shock you to think that? I mean, how much do you got to hate somebody not to give them the gospel? To just sit back and do nothing. See, we're never more like the devil when we just stand there and just let countless millions go off into hell. That's his desire. That's what he wants. We're just like him because we're afraid to just tell people, I don't know about you, but this is what happened to me. And I haven't got over it yet. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Now maybe as you sat there and I ask you to think about the day you were saved, every head bowed and every eye closed, and I ask you to think back, when did you get saved? And quite honestly, you can't remember. You don't remember. I'm not talking about dates here. I'm talking about you can't go back in your mind and remember a time when you realized you personally were a sinner, where you realized that the punishment of God was death in hell. You can't remember ever turning to God and calling upon him and asking him to forgive you because you believe he died for you. You can make that today. Today can be your day. Today, March 24th at 12:08 in the afternoon can be your day. If you'll just pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I deserve your punishment, but I believe you died for me. Please forgive me. Please save me. Come into my life and be my Savior. I receive you now. I believe. If you prayed that prayer, I'd love to talk to you. In just a second, we're going to have what's called the invitation. It's going to be a time for you to respond. If you prayed that prayer, come talk to me and pray with me because you just got saved. But for you, brothers and sisters in Christ who are born again, how long has it been since you relived it by retelling it to someone else. Oh, Father, please speak to every heart and every soul in this room. I pray, Father, please, that you'd give them the courage. God, burden us all. Stir us from our complacency and our apathy, oh God, and burden us for the people we know who do not know you. Father, give us the courage to say something, to encourage them, to love them enough to tell them about heaven and hell, to tell them about a Savior who died for them. God, give us the courage. Bless today. Bless each heart and each soul in Christ's name. Amen. As she begins to sing, come out of your pews. Come down here and pray. If you're lost, you've never trusted Christ, let's talk. Come, I'll take my Bible and I'll lead you to Christ. You'll know for sure you walk out of here today, you'll know you're saved. You'll know nothing will keep you from heaven. Nothing. If you're born again and you know it, come, just ask God for courage. Just ask God for courage. Come and just pray and say, God, give me the courage to share my faith with somebody, just to tell them, God, please. But if you died today and you're not sure heaven's your home, you can know for sure. It's not about being baptized. It's not about joining a church. It's not about being good, because none of us can be good enough. It's about the grace of God loving us just like we are, loving us and saving our soul just like we are. Won't you come? Don't wait. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. We are to be the missionary, brothers and sisters. Ye shall be witnesses. We tell stories all the time. We relate to each other through storytelling. We do it on the job all the time. We tell stories of sales opportunities or customer service snafus. We tell stories of things that are done that are foolish in the office and things that are done great. We tell stories and relate it to people. It's not a foreign thing for us. That's how human beings connect. Men especially. You men love to tell stories just like I do. Have you told this story? It's your story. Have you told your story? You can't tell your mama's story. You can't tell your daddy's story. You can only tell your story because you experienced it. And if you don't have a story today, let's get one right now. Let today be the day. Call upon Christ right now. Admit you're a sinner. Ask him to forgive you because you believe he died and took your sin upon himself. And now he's offering to save you. If you'll just ask him, say please, and he will. Because you believe, you're believing on him. You're not believing on a church or a baptism. You're believing on him. Won't you ask God for the courage to tell your story? How about you? Some have come. There's still time. It's your story. Just think back to where you were. Some of you have been saved in this building. You found Jesus on the carpet right down here on this step. Right here is where you met Jesus. This is where the blood cleansed you. This is where the grace of God forgave you. Right here. Some of you have been saved in Sunday school and Vacation Bible School. We had some kids saved out here in the foyer during Vacation Bible School. Maybe you got saved in a Sunday school classroom. Maybe you got saved on the bus ride home. Maybe you got saved in your bedroom, your mama's couch. Where were you? Where did it happen? Relive it. Can you retell it? We're to be the missionary. Maybe today your need is health or relationships or finances. Won't you come and be healed? Won't you come and be blessed? Won't you come and be rescued? You've got a persistent habit or an addiction. Won't you come? Just come down here and break the chains. Give it to God. Seek the healing that only He can give. Our Father and our God, we love you. We do. We praise God for all you've done. Now, Father, we ask, oh God, work in and through us. Labor with us to bring the gospel to those we live around, those that we work with, those that are in our sphere, those that are in our immediate area, and even to those that scare us or, quite honestly, we don't like. God, give us the courage and the burden. Give us some of your love that we might love them enough to tell them the truth. And Father, as we go out, we recognize that we're going into the mission field itself as we leave this place. Father, let us be your missionary. Please, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man. Look this way. Thank